WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Rescue teams are still searching the Guadalupe River floodwaters and debris piles. At least 110 people have died, and Texas Governor Greg Abbott says after an aerial tour of the flood
zone. Just in the Kerr County area alone, there are 161 people who are known to be missing.
It has been 4 days since anyone has been found alive. CBS's Nydia Cavazos is in Kerr County.
Brian Christenberry's search and rescue team has assisted in the recovery of 17 bodies. He keeps the families in mind while digging through mountains of debris along the Guadalupe River.
You know, I've had a lot of people come up to me that have lost their children and their loved ones and thanked me. And it's hard to even hear that because they have closure, but we haven't pulled anybody out alive yet. And that's tough.
President Trump and the First Lady will be visiting the devastated area on Friday to survey the damage. Donations have poured in from around the world. Volunteers say they'll be here to help as long as there are those in need.
Taking place in and near Ruidoso, New Mexico earlier today was a flash flood emergency with multiple rescues. Caitlin Carpenter looked out her back window to see a home being washed away.
Oh, no.
The village of Ruidoso says there have been 3 injuries, but no confirmed fatalities, and they still have search and rescue crews in the field. The Supreme Court clears the way for President Trump to move forward with mass layoffs of federal workers. CBS's Ed O'Keefe with more.
They lifted a block against the Trump administration's plan to lay off potentially hundreds of thousands of employees across 19 agencies, including the Agriculture Department, the Social Security Administration, and the CDC. Now, importantly, the ruling doesn't mean anyone at those agencies is on the verge of losing their job immediately, but it does give the president permission to start making plans to do so. We know we're definitely going to face even more legal challenges.
Someone is using AI to pretend to be Secretary of State Marco Rubio. State Department spokesperson Tammy Bruce.
The department takes seriously its responsibility to safeguard its information and continuously takes steps to improve the department's cybersecurity posture to prevent future incidents.
The imposter or imposters have contacted at least 3 foreign ministers, a U.S. governor, and a member of Congress. Passengers nationwide are no longer required to take off their shoes when going through airport security. This traveler responding,
I am super stoked to no longer have to take off shoes. And my wife is going to be super stoked to no longer take off shoes as well. So that's going to be a cool thing.
Trash and tension mount in Philadelphia on day 8 of a worker strike. This is CBS News.
Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
As Wisconsin's summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers win the series. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Dodgers 3-1 to take a 2-0 lead over L.A. in the 3-game series, the finale tomorrow afternoon at 1:10. Milwaukee rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski, with the start, gave up a home run to the Dodgers' leadoff hitter, Shohei Ohtani, Pat Murphy.
Giving up the leadoff home run, it's like getting knocked down in the first round. Here's one of the best hitters in the game, and he leaves a breaking ball up. He got back up, took a standing 8, and battled.
Mizorowski then settled in, not allowing another run throughout 6 innings, striking out 12 batters. Dodgers starter Clayton Kershaw said he didn't know much about the Miz before the game. How about now?
Yeah, I know him now, huh? I mean, that was super impressive. It was really special. I mean, everything, you know, obviously the velo, but I mean, he's got 4 pitches, commands the ball, and I mean, I don't know how you hit that, honestly. That's just really tough.
That's the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw. From American Family Field with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies in the overnight. A light breeze as temperatures drop to the upper 50s to near 60 degrees. On Wednesday, a mostly sunny sky, an afternoon high in the upper 70s. By Thursday, we're talking highs in the lower 80s. Right now, it's 70.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, women continue having problems accessing their health care. We're going to talk about that with Megan Kling. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor, Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are very, very excited to be joined by our next guest, a comedian, a comedy writer, and now an author of America, Let Me In. Felipe Torres Medina is here. Good morning, Felipe. How you doing?
Hi, Gene. Thanks for having me. Hey, Greg.
Hello.
It is. I was so amazed. I texted you or I emailed you last week and I said I would love a copy of your book, which I don't know how you did that. Seriously, that is the fastest anything has ever come through the mail. Do you know Louis DeJoy personally?
But my incredible book agent, Andrew Blatt, at William Morris Endeavor, and her assistant, Caroline, who, like, mobilized, because I was not home. I wanted to, if I had been home, I would have mailed it to you myself, but I was doing a book event in San Francisco, so I just emailed them and was like, can you please send a book to Jane? And they were very quick.
It was, I couldn't believe it.
I think they sent it before you even asked, because literally we got it. We're like, how is this here now?
How is this possible?
This is how easily we are, like, amazed. We're like, the mail is so fast.
Well, now you are going to be in the area, correct, on the 10th?
Yes, on the 10th, I will be in Milwaukee at Boswell Books doing a book event with my wife, who is also an author and an Emmy Award-winning comedy writer. She writes for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. And so we'll be in conversation talking a little bit about America and about my book about immigration, my funny book about immigration.
And that's an important thing to keep in mind. This is a very serious topic, obviously, especially in the days that we are living in right now. But you take a very lighthearted approach to explain to people all of the different processes people have to go through if they want to immigrate here, including, you know, I had no idea, Felipe, until I looked at your book, how many different visas there are.
And that's not all of them. That's just the ones that I found, like, fun to write about. That's, yeah.
I mean, how
many? There's a lot of really boring ones. Yeah.
There are, but there are exceptions, you know, for if a company wants to expand, if you want to come here to start a business, if you want to do, I mean, it is remarkable how I had no idea. I had no idea. And for me, a native of this country, if I find this confusing, I can only imagine how confusing it is for people who want to move here.
Well, it's funny because to me, what's really interesting, having been here and been an immigrant in this country for 12, 13 years, I came here in 2013, so 12 years almost now, is that Americans have a lot of opinions on immigration. Everyone in America has an opinion on immigration, but very few people know how the system really works. And you see it all the time in social media, and you see it all the time in conversation, you know, with your neighbors, your friends. Everyone's like, oh, well, they just need to do this. They just need to do that.
Just go through the process.
Exactly. Do things the right way, which to me is the biggest myth that exists out there, because the right way changes all the time, you know, and the right way is, even now we saw like day one of the second Trump administration, the right way was to apply for asylum using an app that the government had created. And they shut down that app within hours of the second administration starting. Now, you can debate whether that's good or bad. That's everyone's entitled to their opinion about what that is. But the truth of the matter, the objective truth, is that the right way was to do that. And they just decided, actually, that is no longer the right way. You cannot do that. So the idea of coming here the right way is such a myth, because it's shifting sands. It changes all the time.
And we see that, unfortunately, with people in certain immigrant populations that were granted, say, temporary protected status.
Yeah, like TPS. Exactly. TPS.
And now that was legal. Mm-hmm. That was legal. These people are here legally. And then the Trump administration decided, yeah, we're going to revoke that TPS. And now they all have to leave. And they've been here for 20 years.
Yeah. And I think it also is a testament to the failure of the system itself. You know, this is supposed to be a funny book, and I really don't want to get too bogged down on the technicalities of everything, but TPS is in and of itself, it's in its name, it's temporary. And these people have been here for 20 years, and they should have a way to stay and to remain, and they've made this place their home. But what really this proves is that there hasn't been any comprehensive immigration reform in 30 years since Bill Clinton was president. And so we have a system that's like, we've been papering over the cracks for 30 years.
Yep.
And all of a sudden it's become this thing where someone can just come in and say like, well, I'm removing the temporary out of the temporary protected status. The temporary element is over. And so, oh crap, we should have done the reform so that this didn't happen.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing, too, for me, Felipe. If you're just joining us, we are talking to Felipe Torres Medina, who is the author of America Let Me In, Choose Your Immigration Story. And we're talking about the book and the process. And one thing that I feel like, you know, if you can take a step back, I'm speaking for myself right now. You see the left kick the can down the road because I feel like they were afraid to make hard choices or say the hard things out loud,
yes.
Whereas Republicans now just get to say exactly what they've been thinking for a long time. And this is where we are, because what they are doing seems like, quote, some movement. Like, there's been very little movement, but because they're doing something, people will see this as, well, this is a start at least, right? We'll fix it later. We'll bring the people back who got that. Those were all mistakes. But the problem is we're seeing even the mistakes, they're like, nope, they can stay down in El Salvador or whatever country they're going to. And I mean, I just feel like, as you just said, it's a failure of decades for both sides to really have a frank conversation about a topic that at the end of the day, not everyone is going to agree on a solution.
Yeah, 100%. And look, the system exists and there are ways to do it. But I think a little bit of the point that I try to make in the book and a little bit of the things that I want to point out is the satire that exists in the book is that the system works if you have money.
Yes.
That to me was like one of the biggest things that I found out doing all the research for the book. You know, I found it out firsthand with my own immigration experience, but there's also all the other kinds of visas. And in truth, like having money is the biggest hack. And what we've created is a system where we are rewarding having money over many other things that we might need. You know, there's genuine examples in other countries of how things could work differently. I remember Pete Buttigieg, when he was running for president in 2020, he suggested something that I don't know if it would have worked, but it would have been different. That was called the Heartland Visa, which was visas for skilled workers in jobs that are needed in particular parts of the heartland where there is no where there are no people who can do those jobs. And so that's kind of similar to the way that Canada issues province visas.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know if it would have worked, but it would have been something and it would have been different. And we would have talked about immigration not as something that needs to be corrected or vilified. We would have talked about it as a way to fulfill the promise of America, right? To mm-hmm. fill jobs, to make communities better. You know, the inaction on the left leads to the discourse of they're eating the cats and the dogs.
Yes.
That is a straight line. If you create a community, if you create a sense of like these people are coming here to work, these people are coming here to build community, rather than this is they're on temporary protected status. Technically, it's legal. I don't know. I'm not going to talk about it. Really, just ignore it. You create that straight line. Whereas if you form a narrative around immigration as a positive, which it is a positive for our country, and we can see it. It's tangibly a positive economically, then you can avoid these narratives and these conversations about immigration is all bad, because people in their communities will see that it isn't all bad.
It sounds like to me, Felipe, and I am not a very smart person, that you are saying that what we need to do is in the overarching theme of it is come together, have a long conversation about this and come up with solutions. Because what I'm hearing from you is just these are trying to create maybe not the perfect, maybe not permanent, but something better than we have, because that's how we move forward. And I know as a comedian, that's what you signed up for, is to become an explainer of yeah. these issues to the people out there. Because I'm a comedian too. I know everyone looks to me for advice. I'm like, I have a political science degree. Don't ask me. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, look, that's the other thing. I've been touring with this book for a little bit, thankfully, and I've been able to go to all sorts of parts of the country. I was in Boston, where like the week or the 2 weeks after ICE detained this student at Tufts University, mm-hmm. who has now thankfully been released, and I was in Miami last month, and it's one of those things where you can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities in a way that's very visceral and real. And, you know, in the end, I'm like, but I'm a comedian, you know, I totally feel the fear and I totally feel the sadness. And, you know, it is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
Well, and we do that on this program too. Yeah. We are living in very serious times. We all appreciate that, and we talk about that a lot. But for the last half an hour of our show, Felipe, we call it Audio Sorbet, where we talk about silly, non-important things, and then yeah. we wrap up the show with this shouldn't be a thing. Because I just think if we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I could ask you a thousand. I have other questions I want to ask you. Mainly, I want to talk to you about just your experience with that process too, and we can talk about that more when we come back. Because, as you said, you are an immigrant. You've been here for 12 years. You know that process. You've gone through it, and you have a unique outlook. From you know, it's not you work on a television show, so I imagine that they may look at it as like, well, you are working in an industry. You are a skilled worker in that sense. And trying to figure out what your journey through this process has been versus what other people may go through. And I'm interested to hear about that from you as well. So,
but as you mentioned, Felipe, it takes money. It takes mm-hmm. money. Yeah. If you want to emigrate here, this is an L1 visa. We're not going to go into this a whole bunch, but if you want to file for an L1 visa, it is going to cost you $460, $500, $190, $2,500. Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's just fees. Yeah, I think that was my wife's idea when I was writing those. The book has explainers on all these visas. So it's like, I think you should list how the fees.
What it costs.
In all these kinds of visas.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It actually helps your prove your point.
We're going to continue our conversation with Felipe Torres Medina. He is a comic, a writer, and the author of the book, America, Let Me In. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Falls Radio, WXCO. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local civic media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming after the 10:30 news, audio sorbet for today. You know, there's a national day for everything.
Mm-hmm.
National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, National Yoga Day, whatever day. What should be your national day?
National
what are we
Greg
missing?
Day. I like
National,
it.
Beyond just National Greg Day. What would be your day? You need a day. What is your National Day? That's our audio sorbet coming up after the 10:30 news. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the You're in Trouble Now edition. Stay tuned for that. Currently, our guest is an author. He writes for late night television, and he wrote America, Let Me In, A Choose Your Immigration Story. Felipe Torres Medina is here. It's a wonderful, lighthearted look at our immigration system. It's a lighthearted way to look at what a mess our immigration system is.
There it is. And earlier, I was alluding to the journey that you had as far as your immigration travels, and from coming here to where you are right now in America. I'm not saying like what's your status, but like just what your experience is, because honestly, you working in television, the only thing I have is listening to John Oliver talk about his. And he said, even as a guy who started on television, it's still a scary process. It's a long, expensive process with hoops you have to jump through. And I just wanted to know if you could speak on your journey thus far and what you've gone through.
Yeah, it's a scary, long, and expensive process. I moved here In 2013, I came here to study. I came on a student visa. And after that, I did something called OPT. And this stuff is all in the book, told in a like slightly fictionalized version of my life as part of one of the paths you can take in the book, because as the title suggests, it's kind of interactive. So you can pick different kinds of visas, different kinds of stories, and see which one you get. But one of these is mine. So I got something called OPT, which is what students get to be able to work here for a year. Some students get 3 years if they're in STEM. I was in the arts, so I only got 1 year. And after that, I got something called an O-1 visa, which is an Alien of Extraordinary Ability visa, which is a ridiculous name. And you can tell how, even as I was starting to like become a comedian here, I was like surrounded by the absurd.
Yeah.
Lots of material.
Yeah. I mean, kind of, you know, because this visa is called Alien of Extraordinary Ability. It makes you sound like you're like in the X-Men or you're like Alf. You know,
you are ET. You are ET, essentially.
Alf reference. Yes.
And so, I was starting to kind of like come to terms with all that. And also I had a lot of friends asking me like, oh, like, well, you know, I had, again, these are like young liberal progressives in New York being like, oh, but you went to school here, so you're fine, right? And I had to be like, what? No.
No.
You have no idea how the immigration system works. Like, no, I have to get like visas and I have to like do it under certain time frames. And if I don't do it, I have to leave. You know, I had issues with professors at my university. I went to Boston University, a great school. I learned a lot, but I had professors who had no idea how the system works. And they were like, oh, well, you can just get like a barista job. Cause I went for, to get my master's in screenwriting. And they were like, you can just move out to LA and like get a barista job and write. And I was like, I can't, that's like legally not allowed. If you're on a student visa, even if you get a work permit, you have to work in your area of expertise on the thing you went to school for. So you can't just get like a day job, a survival job, and then like work on your art on the side until you get like the big break, you know, kind of like the idealized vision of how you make it in Hollywood.
Also, can you just imagine that was the fix? Like, just, hey, everybody just go work at Starbucks or a coffee shop. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine. And this, I mean, and that, I think that ultimately is the root of the problem too, is that, you know, you think of the problem with this discussion being those who disagree and want to do extreme things. But the bigger problem, I would say, are those who support you as a person and being here, but know almost nothing about it. So just think, well, as long as I support them, good work on me, I'm good to go. You know what I mean? So they alleviate themselves the responsibility of being proper advocates versus saying just like,
you'll be fine.
I say this all the time. I don't know. I think you should ask an expert because I can't tell you that answer. I don't know this experience. Ask Felipe, but don't ask Felipe. He's got other things to do. Buy his book.
Well, you can ask me. You can buy the book, but I do have to point out that I am not an immigration lawyer or an activist. I am a comedian.
Right. Important distinction.
Wait a minute. I thought all comedians were activists. That's what I've been told these past few years. I mean, if you have a podcast, you are basically a humanitarian
That's
advocate.
True. That's true. If you have a podcast, you speak the truth. Joe Rogan taught me that.
Felipe Torres Medina is our guest. He's the author of America, Let Me In, A Choose Your Immigration Story. It's very funny. You should pick it up.
And you're going to be here. You're going to be in Milwaukee on Thursday at Boswell Books. I will make sure to put the information on our show notes. And I'm pretty much sure I'm going to come down there and see. You said and your wife are going to be there, right?
Correct. It's there. It's at 6:30 p.m. at Boswell.
Perfect.
And it's a lovely little bookstore. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll see.
We're excited.
Yeah. I'll put that in the show notes and we'll get down there and see you. And thank you so, so much. And congratulations, Felipe.
We would love to have you back. There's a lot more to discuss. I would love to hear some of the comments you're hearing from folks after you address them at these appearances. So we will be in touch. And thank your publicist again for this is the fastest book that has ever come through the mail. It's a miracle. We have news coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you so much, Felipe.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
CBS News Brief. More than 100 people are still unaccounted for in Central Texas, where the death toll from flooding is at least 104. CBS's Nitya Cavazos is in Kerrville.
Difficult terrain. People are hoping for the best here, but the situation doesn't necessarily look like it's improving as we go on to day 6 of these search and rescue operations here.
The Supreme Court has lifted a court order, the lower court order, that blocked layoffs of employees of almost 24 federal agencies. Here's CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
We should be clear that in this case, we are talking about the president restructuring the executive branch. And historically, presidents have had significant power because they are the chief executive.
Someone's believed to be using AI to impersonate Secretary of State Marco Rubio during phone calls. State Department spokeswoman Tammy Bruce.
State Department, of course, is aware of this incident and is currently monitoring and addressing the matter.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Brewers win the series. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Dodgers 3-1 to take a 2-0 lead over L.A. in the 3-game series, the finale tomorrow afternoon at 1:10. Milwaukee rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski, with the start, gave up a home run to the Dodgers' leadoff hitter, Shohei Ohtani, Pat Murphy.
Giving up the leadoff home run, it's like getting knocked down in the first round. Here's one of the best hitters in the game, and he leaves a breaking ball up. He got back up, took a standing eight, and battled.
Mizorowski then settled in, not allowing another run throughout 6 innings, striking out 12 batters. Dodgers starter Clayton Kershaw said he didn't know much about the Miz before the game. How about now?
Yeah, I know him now, huh? I mean, that was super impressive. It was really special. I mean, everything, you know, obviously the velo, but I mean, he's got 4 pitches, commands the ball, and I mean, that's, I don't know how you hit that, honestly. That's just really tough.
That's the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw. From American Family Field with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you were looking for a break from relatives, friends, or people in the neighborhood who drop by unannounced this holiday weekend, why not escape with a film or two that have been considered July 4th classics? Let's start with Jaws, which has to be on the list given it is considered the first summer blockbuster ever and just recently had its 50th anniversary. Another fan favorite is Independence Day, where Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum take on aliens that seemed impossible to defeat, but of course they find a loophole. The film is a total guilty pleasure and great escapism. Back to the Future is another summer classic that came out in 1985. It's got the always likable Michael J. Fox, Leah Thompson, and of course Thomas F. Wilson, who never quite achieved biffdom again. And in my research, I was surprised at how much the original Top Gun appeared on the list for 4th of July movies. If you don't feel like going back to the 80s again, check out Top Gun Maverick. Take a break from the heat and fire up the small screen. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies in the overnight. A light breeze as temperatures drop to the upper 50s to near 60 degrees. On Wednesday, a mostly sunny sky. An afternoon high in the upper 70s. By Thursday, we're talking highs in the lower 80s. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Rod Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with PK and Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor at LP, joins us to discuss national and state issues and a what's worse on pizza.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
To take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also email the show directly if you have a guest to suggest, a topic you think we should talk about, something going on in your community, no matter where you are across the state. Oshkosh, listening on WISS and Hayward on WBZH, wherever, you can always reach us at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. If you have the app, you can leave a voice note too.
Yes, we love hearing the voice notes, whether you like us or not.
Just let us know we're still living rent-free in your head. It's exactly. Always nice. This is the time we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to lighten things up just a little bit.
Oh.
Get away from the news.
Yeah.
So we can all take a breath.
Yeah.
Just for a little bit. National days.
There's tons of them.
There are national. Calvin, you were looking this morning.
Woo.
Today is, what was today?
It was like national. It's National Day.
It's National Day. There is a national day for everything. National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
Mm-hmm.
National Cookie Day. National Ice Cream Day. National Custard Day. If you had the opportunity, what would be your national day? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What would be your national day? 855-752-4842. Let us know what you would like to see.
Today is National Chocolate with Almonds Day. Well, I've never found another a better way to ruin chocolate.
You don't like nuts in your chocolate?
I don't like almonds in my chocolate. Or what's the other one that's terrible? Not
peanuts?
Not peanuts. Peanuts are fine. Also not nuts, actually. They're legumes. Sorry. Almonds and I can't think of the other one.
Cashews?
I love cashews. God, I'm the guy. When you have a thing of nuts.
Are they mixed?
I take all the cashews. They're mine.
You're the person.
They belong to me.
You are the person.
But yeah, there is a national. When you said earlier National Spa Day, I looked it up. There's actually not a National Spa Day.
Oh, there should be.
But it's National Relaxation Day. So it gets woven in with all the. So essentially, there's a National Audio Sorbet Day, then. That's really what's coming down. We should have that. National Audio Sorbet Day. So we can all, as a country, forget everything we disagree on for. I'll start small, 30 seconds. One day a year where everybody just forgets what we all believe in.
Yes.
That we disagree with. And we just, for 30 seconds, just all take a deep breath together and think of one thing that makes us happy, like puppies.
I could. There will be someone who thinks puppies are annoying. will be.
No, I'm not saying it has to be puppies. I'm saying
the one thing that makes you happy.
Makes you so happy. And then we all agree that there's something that makes us happy. And we take 30 seconds. National Audio Sorbet Day. There, I did it.
We can submit that. There must be some place to submit these.
I'm sure it's Congress or something, so we're out of luck.
855-752-4842. Your national day, mm-hmm. What would it be? Cassandra on the live stream sent this in earlier. She said, I'm going to be at my facial during Audio Sorbet, so I would like to add Dr. Pepper Day. Fair enough.
Well, then if we're
judgment-free zone,
if we're
can be any kind of day you want.
Absolutely. But I'm just going to say this. If we're going to do Dr. Pepper Day, we have to also do another day somewhere down the road, Mr. Pibb Day, because Mr. Pibb, as we know, is the working man's Dr. Pepper. He didn't get a degree. He just wants to get you a fine cola.
Do they still make Mr. Pibb?
Oh, absolutely.
They do.
It's delicious. It tastes exactly like Dr. Pepper.
Cheaper?
I doubt it. In today's economy, Jane, come on now.
Okay.
Yeah.
My national day.
Yeah, what was I going to say?
Because I don't think it exists.
Yeah, let's look it up. Okay.
National Sparkly Shoe Day.
National Sparkly Shoe Day.
I don't think it exists.
Kellen, just so you know, you're next. So
I think it should be a thing.
Okay, there is no recognized holiday called National Sparkly Shoe Day. However, there is a holiday called National Two Different Colored Shoe Day, which I think, though not sparkly, celebrates the fun of shoes.
To me, that is specific to clowns.
I'm currently wearing a shoe with three different colors, so what are you saying?
I assume that meant one shoe is one color and the other shoe is a different color.
It says the day encourages people to embrace their uniqueness by wearing shoes with different colors. White, while not directly about sparkly shoes, the concept of celebrating individuality through footwear aligns with the idea of wearing eye-catching, perhaps even sparkly shoes. Now, that is vague language because I don't know if they mean wear two different shoes or a shoe with different colors, because I would venture that most people wear shoes of different colors because most sneakers
are multicolored.
Non-business shoes are of different colors.
Yeah.
So that is a weekday, and I mean WEAK, not weekday.
Oh.
So I think we need to get on this sparkly shoe day. Needs to be a thing.
I think I could get some support for that.
You can be the spokesperson, Jane.
I'll be the spokesfoot.
Gross. All right.
If I can actually see.
Whoa, look at that. You can't see it at all. Just seeing some knee action there.
I'm only so stretchy.
Calvin, what would your day be? Would be National Greg Leave Me Alone Day, because...
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I knew it.
No,
I knew it.
I don't know if I actually have a good one, but I have a bit of a funny story that relates to how odd of person or kid I was. When I was in second grade, we had this thing where you got to have a special Wednesday, they called it, where every kid got to pick throughout the school year where they got to pick a theme day.
Every kid got to do this?
Every kid in second grade.
Oh, cool.
It's interesting.
And you were supposed to, they pulled names out of a hat and they were supposed to, everyone was supposed to have a partner, but the two classes had odd amounts or something. So I was the lone left and they gave me the option. You can pick your own day or you can join a group of three. Obviously, I picked my own day.
Naturally.
Yeah, because that's you.
So being the odd little second grader I was, most kids were picking like bring your pet to school day or like dinosaur day or like that kind of thing. My day was Renaissance Day. I don't know. I guess I got that because my aunt and uncle went to like the Renaissance Fair and I heard them talking about it. But I was like... That's going to be my day. We're going to talk about castles and swords and all that kind of stuff.
You must have been really popular.
We're going to talk about castles and swords and jousting and people dying of the Black Death. Renaissance Day.
For a second grader, that's pretty elevated, actually.
That's really funny,
Calvin.
That's hoity-toity, if you ask me.
That is hilarious.
Meanwhile, I'm like, I love ice cream.
What would your national day be if you had the opportunity? Carmela from Milwaukee texting in on listening on WAUK. Good morning. This isn't a tangible item, but I say National Pay It Forward Day.
I'd like that. Well, let's...
Or National Be Kind Day.
Okay, I think we're going to look that up because I think there's got to be something.
Do you think there's a Pay It Forward Day?
Something in that vein. Kind of like how Nationally Sparkly Shoe Day doesn't have a thing. But there, it's folded in.
I think it deserves its own day.
National Pay It Forward Day 2025. Let's see it. April 28th. We just missed it. National Pay It Forward Day.
There we go, Carmela.
PJ on the live stream says, going back to shoe discussion, mm-hmm. I'm guessing Greg is wearing Vans. Well, PJ, you are wrong. I'm wearing Hokas because I am a 47-year-old man who has ankle problems and back problems, and I need a good support for these footsies.
What would be your national day if you had the opportunity to suggest one and get your national day? My national day would be Sparkly Shoe Day.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin's debating. Andrew on the live stream, also listening on WAUK, says, how about a national live free in your head day? Where we celebrate in The Voice the things that are living rent-free.
I would totally do that right now, buddy. But what I'm thinking about is not FCC compliant.
Exactly. So, yes, I like that idea though. Yeah. What about you, Greg?
See, I looked, everything I kind of came up with had its own day or something akin to. I say National Luthiers Day, and it's not very funny.
National what?
Luthiers Day. Luthiers are people who work, so people who make violins and guitars. They create them. They create stringed instruments. I love luthiers. I love the art, especially guitar making. But they already have a National Guitar Day, which celebrates that skill. But I just like the idea of celebrating people who have made it their life's work to dedicate themselves to what is a true artful craftsmanship, and it's beautiful. So yeah, that would be my day. I know
it's nothing, very deep.
I know.
It's very deep from Greg Bach this morning.
You're very welcome. It's no National Renaissance Day, let me tell you.
Well, that's true. Few things are.
I'd like the National Golden Age Day, please. Thank you very much.
PJ, also on the live stream, Greg, National Tattoo Day is July 17th.
Which is the exact number of tattoos I have, 17.
You do?
I have 17 tattoos. So I will, I think I'm, and that might be done.
What would your day be? National days. There's a national day for everything.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Peter, listening in Green Bay on WGBW. I don't have my own, but my favorite one is National Lost Sock Remembrance Day.
Dude, I can't even tell you, like just this past week, I'm like, I know I have two of these.
Yes.
What happened to them?
Yeah.
I.
When you come out of the dryer, right?
Yeah.
I have a stack of lone socks on the table I have where I fold things. Someone ate them. I don't know what happened to the other sock.
Bridget has a Ziploc gallon bag full of them. She's collected over the years. I'm like, we can throw these out. You know, we can just start anew.
Right.
I feel like some of my socks. Yeah, I feel like some of my socks are buried in with her laundry too, because it's just, you know, we do separate laundry just because it just makes it. I have far less laundry.
Sure,
that's not a statement on women or anybody. It's just a fact of a matter.
It just is.
But yeah, I have a feeling that if I did a real audit of our basement, of our laundry area,
they're in there somewhere.
Oh, I found 38 socks. Awesome.
EJ, lost socks equal missing Tupperware lids.
Oh, dude, don't get me started on our Tupperware. Yeah. Oh my.
I do that once a month now.
Yes.
I go through my plastics drawer and match everything, and everything that doesn't match as goes.
But what I need, Jane, is I need a system of storage for my storage. Like
storage for your storage?
In our Tupperware cabinet, it's just a cacophony of items.
Yeah.
And you open, and it happens, right? You open it up, lids on the floor.
And nothing matches anything.
No! And it's always just a little bit. It's never like, oh, here's an oval one and here's a circle one. It's here's a circle container. Here's a circle container that's just a wee too small. Just a wee.
National Storage for Storage Day.
Exactly.
Whatever day you would like to have, we hope it's a happy one.
I think on behalf of this show, we should lobby for a National Audio Sorbet Day. Where we take a moment out of the
Lights. We got to find out who we need to lobby for this. Who do we have to approach to make
what
this happen?
Derek Van Orten's phone number and call him.
Oh, yeah, he'll be real behind it. Real quickly, Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Jack, we got about 60 seconds left. What do you want to say?
Real quickly, how about National Just Leave Me Alone Day? Because I've had a lot of days like that.
I think everyone would get behind that one, Jack. That is fantastic. Appreciate it. All right, stay with us when we return.
It exists.
It does.
October the 4th, every year, National Leave Me Alone Day.
Oh, God, that's hilarious. There you go, Jack. This Shouldn't Be a Thing is coming up next. You're in trouble now. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans and their families. For more information, please visit WISVets.com. That's WISVets.com. Message sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Years ago, I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, sure, you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, like, worry people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. You can call and or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Megan Kling is going to be joining us.
Yes.
She had an experience. She was pregnant, had some difficulties in her pregnancy, and she is going to share her story on what happened and what she had to deal with when she went through this. So Megan Kling is going to be joining us tomorrow after the 9:30 news. Should be a very, very impactful conversation.
This is going to be our second conversation now with someone who's gone through this.
Yes.
We talked to a woman named Lauren a few months back with Dr. Lyerly. Tomorrow we'll find that interview and link it in so you can hear both of them. But we're continually hearing these stories from individuals all over the country who are going through very, very...
They can't get the health care they need.
Exactly.
Is essentially what it comes down to. So Megan Kling will be joining us tomorrow after the 9:30 news. Also, some breaking news that happened earlier today. The IRS has decided that preachers can now endorse politicians from the pulpit. They weren't allowed to do that for a really long time because they are tax exempt. And now it has been decided that they can. So they can be preaching from the pulpit. That's one thing we'll talk about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Also, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins has really good news, apparently. The 34 million able-bodied adults who she says are on Medicaid, We got jobs on farms that are going to be opening up for you.
And Governor Evers, as an advocate in rural hospital closures, in a person you wouldn't have expected.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
We'll be talking more about that tomorrow, too.
Yeah. Kind of a surprise from one of Wisconsin's lawmakers.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. It is 10:50, just about 10:55, Calvin. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this from UPI. Credit going out to Ben Hooper, one of our favorite reporters.
Ben Hooper!
Headline reads, medical clinic pleads for a stop to unsolicited urine samples. A medical clinic in Scotland is asking local residents to stop bringing in inappropriate
versus appropriate
or unsolicited urine samples. The Salton Surgery in Aberdeenshire in Scotland said on social media that doctors and staff at clinics have been inundated with a high volume of unsolicited urine samples, often in not approved containers instead of the sterile sample containers that you would normally do that. Quote, please be advised, we are no longer able to accept urine samples unless they have been specifically requested by the practice. This change is necessary due to the high volume of inappropriate or unsolicited samples being submitted, which affects our ability to provide timely care to all patients, unquote.
Weird thing about this story, it's all from one guy.
Each unsolicited sample handed in requires time and testing and resources and all of those things. One doctor speaking anonymously said multiple clinics have had to put up signs asking people not to bring in unsolicited urine samples. Quote, we really, really want patients to speak to a clinician for a proper medical assessment before we ask them to bring a sample in. And when they do, we will give them sample bottles to return instead of random containers, which can sometimes be inappropriate.
Which is a very diplomatic way of saying, stop bringing us your bags of wee.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because remember like the old days when people would diagnose themselves on WebMD?
And they're still doing it.
But they've taken a step further. They're like, you know, I think something's wrong.
Here's my urine.
I'm going to go in a bag and take it to the locals, to the local place. And
can you run this?
Just... I thought you could use this.
No. Let me know what you find.
Yeah. Does this look weird?
Does it look good to you? The doctor said the culprits are often older patients seeking to be tested for urinary tract infections without first consulting with a doctor.
Love, did it hurt when you did it? No, you're good.
You're good. You're good.
This is what I like is that a doctor had to talk anonymously. Like there is a lone band of urine result seekers who are just that dictatorial. And they're like, who talked? Who said something? Who said something?
Here we have it. Don't drop off your unsolicited urine samples in Scotland. I think that's something we can all learn
by. I feel
by.
Like that's something that America would have done. Yeah. You know, I feel like Scotland's way more more logical. They're like, I'm just going to pop over to the place and ask.
Fine.
And but no, I can full blown see Americans being like, here's a bag of pee. Tell me about myself.
Take a look. Let me know how it looks.
Yeah.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next on the Vast Statewide Countrywide. Pick us up globally on the app. We are the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The death toll from flash floods in Texas is now at least 110, and many more are missing. CBS's Nydia Cavazos is in Kerrville.
The latest update now includes 161 people who are missing, and this includes people from Camp Mystic, but people who were not necessarily registered with the camp. They were not staying at a hotel, but whose family members have reached out and they are looking for answers.
And Kerr County officials are now saying they proposed creating a more robust flood warning system, but members of the public objected to the cost. As if they don't have enough problems, residents are having a hard time getting rid of the debris left behind in the floods. CBS's Jared Eggleston has that.
At the dump in town, residents are actually being charged to currently dispose of their debris. Normally, there's a voucher system, and residents here can throw large things away at the dump twice.